Today's daf is Chagiga daf Chof Aleph, and we are at the beginning of a new perek, the third and final perek in Masechtes Chagiga, the final perek of Seder Moed, a hard perek, perek Chomer Bekoidesh, in the middle of daf Chof Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Shlomo Ben Yibodol L'Chaim Toivim Reb Chaim Doiv. And as a Schus Rufu Shalema for Avadya Ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba Ben Devorah, Devorah Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Malka Miriam Bas Esther, Avram Ben Gittel Edel, Sora Bas Yehudis Rechel, Elazar Lipa Sholem Ben Fager Rachel, Baruch Ben Rachel, Pinya Gittel Bas Rachel Shendel, Yitzchak Yosef Ben Esther, Naftali ben Chana, Ezra Avram ben Zahavim, Mariam Gittel, Simcha Doiv Ber ben Chaya Freda, and Esther Kreindel bas Devorah. Today's daf also being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Doiv Beryl ben Rabbi Yaakov David. So the third parak of Masechtes Chagiga, as mentioned, is a hard parak, and the topic of the parak is Tuma v'Tahira. And the truth is that when you think of Masechtes Chagiga, so you have the sugya of Re'iyah, Oyle Regel, you have the Agadat Gemara, the Pardes, Maisa Bereshis, Maisa Merkava, and then there's the third parak, Parak Chomer B'Kodesh, that deals with the laws of Tumah V'Tahira. But the truth is, as we've seen, it's a little bit of a misnomer, because really the sugyas of Tumah V'Tahira begin in the second parak. In fact, the last 2.5 dafin of the second parak in Masechtes Chagiga are the laws of Tumah V'Tahira. So really, it's a new parak, but it's very much not a new sugya, but rather it's a continuation of the sugyas that we've been learning for the last several dafin, and that is the laws of Tumah V'Tahira. Now, one of the themes of the Tumah V'Tahira dafin that we've learned so far is that in the world of observing Tyrus, not all Tyrus were created equally. Rather, the Mishnah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Bey, said there are five levels, there are five madregos that one needs to observe the laws of Tyrus for. There's Chulin, there's Maisa Sheni, there's Truma, there's Kodesh, and there's Mechatos. Chulin is the least chamor, Maisa Sheni is more chamor, Truma is more chamor than that, Kachim's even more chamor than that, and finally, Mechatos, that's the pinnacle, that's the spitz, and the way one would have to observe the laws of Tyrus differs depending on whether he's trying to be careful for Chulin, Maisa Sheni, Truma, Kachem, or Mechatas. The first Mishnah of the third Perek of Masechtes Chagiga is going to compare and contrast the Maila of Truma and the Maila of Kachem. So Truma and Kachem are both Chamor in the world of Tuma V'Tahira. In terms of the 1 through 5, it was stage 3 and 4 respectively. So clearly, it's definitely considered chomer in the world of Tyrus. And the Gemara, the Mishnah, is going to discuss different milas that Kachem has over Truma and vice versa, as we're going to see in the sugyas. But what we need to understand before we begin is that Kachem, of course, has Kedusha. Kishmoy Kachi, it's Kachem. Truma also has Kedusha. Stating that, the Kedusha of Kachem is more Chomer than the Kedusha of Truma. It's for that reason that in the world of Tumah V'Tahira, Kachem is more Chomer than Truma is. The Mishnah is going to begin with 10 or 11, as we'll see in the Gemara, Machloikis Amayram, Chumris and Milas that Kachem has over Truma. Zok the Heilige Mishnah, Chomer B'Kodesh B'Truma, Kachem has a Chumra over Truma, Shemat Bilim Kelim B'Toich Kelim L'Truma. If a person needs to be Toivel, 2 Kelim, for Truma, so someone has 2 kelim that are both tummy, and he wants to be toifel them. The reason is because he wants to be able to use Truma inside those kelim. So the halach is, you can take 1 keli, put it inside the other keli, and be toifel it that way. Avaloi l'kodesh. But if you're going to use these kelim for kachem, then this is something that you're not going to be able to do. So if anyone's ever toifeled kelim in a tefillas kelim mikvah, so if you have a whole bunch of kelim, in theory, if you'd be able to put 1 keli into another, and put another into that, it would be a lot more convenient. It would make the process a lot lot more streamlined, rather than having to take every fork and every knife and every spoon and try to be toivel by itself. So says the Mishnah, if you're toiveling for chulin, for sure you can put one keli into another keli. Even for truma, the halach is matbilin kelim b'toich kelim. However, when it comes to kachem, this is the first chumra that kachem has over truma, that you're not allowed to be matbil a keli inside a keli. Achirayim, the toich ubeis hatzvita. Number two, the achirayim, the back of a keli, the toich, the inside of a keli, and the beis hatzvita of a keli, the Gemara is going to explain what that means, betruma, are considered three distinct parts of the keli as it relates to truma. Avaloi b'kaidish. But when it comes to kachem, we look at them as one. So what does that mean? If the back of a keli would become tame, in certain instances, it would not be metame the inside of the keli, or it wouldn't be metame the beis hatzvita of the keli, whatever that is. However, as it relates to kachem, it's more chamer. So if the achirayim of the keli becomes tame, or if the toich of the keli becomes tame, or if the beis hatzvita of the keli becomes tame, we don't say that only that part of the keli is tame, but rather, even if only one of those parts became tame, it'd be metame the whole keli. Again, chumra number two of kachem. Chumra number three, if somebody is carrying something that is tame tumas medrash, Rashi gives an example. He was carrying the shoe of a zav. A zav is someone that has the ability to be metame tumas medrash, whatever that is, not for now. A shoe is something that would become Tomei Tomas Madras if a Zav walked a mile in it. So if somebody would carry the minnel, someone would carry the shoe of a Zav, Dalach is Noise Esa Truma. At the same time, he's allowed to carry Truma. Avaloy Esa Kodesh. Someone's not allowed to be carrying the shoe of a Zav. He's not allowed to be carrying a Madras and at the same time carry Kachem. It's a Chumra, it's a Maila that Chazal made as it relates to Kachem. Chumra number four. Big day, Oichle Truma, Madras Lakodesh. This we already had in the Mishnah Daf. If you have somebody that eats truma, and because he eats truma, he's very careful to make sure that there's no tumah in his house. He's never tumah. His kelim are not tumah. His clothing are not tumah. He's very, very careful in the world of truma. That's very good. So his truma, we could assume, is tahar. And if you have another person that's an oichel truma, he comes in contact with this yid, he has nothing to worry about. But let's say there's someone that eats kachim. This person that's only nizer and tyrus for truma is not considered to be tahar for the yid that eats truma, but for the yid that eats kachim. But rather, we look at him as a medrash. We look at him as a suffix that maybe he's tamei relative to the person that has to eat kachim. So again, you see kachim is more chamer than truma because big day oichle truma is medrash lekaidish. But it doesn't work in the other way around. If someone is person that's nizer bekachem b'tahira, of course his begadim are going to be considered tahar for someone that's eichel truma. Clearly, zoysay meres that kachem is more chomer than truma, and that's the fourth chomer that kodesh has over truma. Number five, like midas hakodesh, midas hatruma. Kodesh and truma are fundamentally different. How so? Shev kodesh when it comes to kachem mater umenagev umatvel. What would be if somebody has a beged? It's tame. And he needs to be metaret for kachem purposes. He wants to eat kachem wearing this baget. There was a knot inside the baget. So says the Mishnah, number one, matar. You have to untie the knot, umenagev, and then dry out that area that was tied. Make sure it's not wet. Umatful, and afterwards be tivulet. Va'achakach kosher, and then afterwards you can tie it back again. But the point is, he can't toivel it while it's knotted. Ubetruma, when it comes to truma, not only can you be toivel it if it's knotted, but kosher, if you want the katchila, you can make a knot. V'achakach matvel, and then afterwards be toivel it. So what do you see? You see clearly that, again, kachim has a chumra over truma. When it comes to kachim, we're worried about knots. When it comes to truma, we're not worried about knots. Now, what's the issue with a knot? Rashi says, the issue with a knot is, there's a concern that there may be a chatzitza. A knot is a chatzitza, because inside the knot, you're not going to be able to get in 100%. So the point is that's why the knot is a problem. It's only a problem in the world of kachim. It's not a problem in the world of truma, because again, this is a chaymer b'kodesh mi b'truma. Another halacha, kelim hanigmar b'tayr. If you have a keli that was complete b'tayr, meaning the keli was just fashioned, it just became a complete keli. Now, before a keli is a complete keli, it's not royal kabbaltoma. A keli only becomes royal kabbaltoma once it's complete. So this keli was just completed, and it was completed b'kdusha b'tayr. There's no question in the world, we know no toma came in contact with it. Now you want to use it. So l'churi, you should have nothing to worry about. Stating that tzrichim tefillah l'kodesh. Before you use it for the first time for kachim, it requires a tefillah. Avaloy l'truma. But for truma, it doesn't. Again, because kachim is more chamer than truma. Another chumra, hakli mitzarif, masha b'toichel l'kodesh. Avaloy l'truma. If you have something that's inside a keli that became tameh, so everything else in the keli, is it tameh or is it not tameh? Ordinarily not. When it comes to kachim, there's a chiddush that the kli is mitzarif masha b'toichel. That we look at all items that are inside the same keli as if they're one item. So if one thing inside the keli becomes tameh, everything inside the keli becomes tameh. Even if they're not touching. Maybe if they're touching, then maybe anyways it's going to be tameh. But even if they're not touching, the fact that they're in the same keli, the kli is mitzarif, that's a chiddush in kachem. It's not something you have by chulin. It's not even something that you have by truma. Another chumrah. Harevi b'kodesh pasul. Vashlishi, the truma. There's something called a revi l'tumah when it comes to kachem. There's no such thing as a revi l'tumah when it comes to truma. So this is something that we spoke about in the introduction to Daf Yud Ches. This is something that we've spoken about so many times. This is Tumah v'tahayro 10101, and that is that even though there are different levels of Tumah, you have an Avi Avaisa Tumah, you have an Ava Tumah, you have a Rishon Latumah, you have a Sheni Latumah, Chulin doesn't go past the Sheni Latumah. Chulin can't become a Shlishi Latumah. Truma can become a Shlishi Latumah. Kachim could also be a Shlishi Latumah. Truma, however, can't go past the Shlishi Latumah. Kachim can. Kachim could even be a Revi Latumah. So Kachim could be a Revi Latumah, whereas Truma cannot be a Revi Latumah. What does that mean? That means that Kachim is more Chamor. Because if Kachim comes in contact with a Shlishi, it becomes Tameh. If Truma comes in contact with a Shlishi, it does not become Tameh. So that's another Chumrah that Kachem has over Truma. Another Chumra uber Truma. Netmas achas miyadam. What happens if a person's hand became Tum? So one of the Chedushim you have in the world of Tumah v'tahira, this is Nogeya Tumah d'Rabbanan, is that a person's guf could be Tahar, but his hands could be Tameh. Right? Before we wash for Hamoitzi, we wash only our hands. You don't go to the mikveh before you eat a sandwich. You're just washing hands. Why? Because hands have a din of a sheni l'tumah. What about the rest of your guf? Oh, the rest of your guf is tar. It's only the hands. There's a chiddush called tumas yadayim. So the question is, what happens if only one of a person's hands became tameh? So for truma, if one hand became tameh, chaver t'tayr has no impact on the other hand. Ube kodesh, when it comes to kachim, matbul shteim. Once one hand becomes tameh, the other hand is tameh as well. Shahayad metameh is chaver t'be kodesh, because one hand is metameh, the other hand, when it comes to kachim, avaloi b'truma, not b'truma. It's a little wordy, right? It seems to be redundant. Ube truma netmas achas miyadov chaver t'tayr. Ube kodesh, you have to wash hands. Why? Because one hand is matam, the other hand by kodesh, not by truma. The Gemara is going to ask the kasha, right? The Mishnah literally repeated itself one line after the other. Another maila, another chumah that you have in kachem over truma. Oichlin, oichlim neguvin, biyadayim mesuav eis betruma. If a person wants to eat truma with hands that are tameh, he could. You're going to say, what? How could you eat truma with hands that are tameh? Right? Whenever hands are tameh, it's a sheni l'tumah. Or else it's even worse. Could be a rishon l'tumah or an avatumah. But it for sure is going to be not any less than a sheni l'tumah. Sheni l'tumah is matama truma, makes it into a shlishi l'tumah. So how could a person eat truma with hands that are tameh? The teretz is because food only becomes tameh if it's wet. If it's wet, then it becomes mukhshal l'kabal tumah. If it's mukhshal l'kabal tumah, now you're going to have a problem. If, however, it's dry, then there's no way for it to be tameh. Says Dr. Mishnah, if a person wants to eat truma with hands that are tameh, but neguvin, it's dry, his hands are dry, the food is dry, so there's not going to be any tumah, it's fine. Avaloi b'kodesh, when it comes to kachim, there's a chumri yaseira, that's not going to be okay. And finally, ha'oinein, someone that's an oinein, u'mechose kipurim, or someone that was tameh, but he's the type of tameh, that in order for him to be tahar, it's not enough that he waits 7 days, it's not enough that he even has shiv and a kiyim. It's not enough that he goes to the mikveh. It's not enough that the sun sets. But he even has to bring a carbon. So an oinein and a mechusa kipurim, these two people, tzrichin tefillah l'kodesh. They need tefillah in order for them to eat kachim. Avaloi l'truma v'naf l'truma. Rashi says, what does this mean? An oinein, in order for him to eat kachim, would have to go to the mikveh. Meaning, b'shas he's an oinein, of course he can't eat kachim. But even after the aninus passes, he has to first go to the mikveh, then he's allowed to eat kachim. The same is true for a mechusa kipurim. A mechusa kipurim that was not allowed to eat kachim until he brought his carbon, Rashi says, even after he brings his carbon, the halach is, if he wants to eat kachim, he has to go to the mikveh. So there's a din that an oinen and a mechusa kipurim, even after the aninos passes, even after he's no longer mechusa kipurim, right? An oinen can't eat kachim because he can't eat kachim. A mechusa kipurim can't eat kachim because he can't eat kachim. The chiddush is that even when he's not an oinen anymore, even when he already bought his carbon, still he needs tefillah in order for him to be able to eat kachim. Avaloi l'truma, but when it comes to truma, it's not that way. In fact, as we'll see, a mechusa kipurim is even l'katchila allowed to eat truma. This will all be mavur in the gemar. But either way, if you do the math, you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. The Mishnah mentioned 11 chumras that Kachim has over Truma. And on that note, the Gemara is going to go through all 11. And we're going to have several dafin here of Tumah v'Tahayra going through the different chumras that the Mishnah mentioned that Kachim has over Truma. Zok the Gemara. B'kodesh, my time alai. So we're referring back to the very first halacha of the Mishnah. Chaymer b'kodesh truma. What was number one? Shematpilim kelim b'tach kelim l'truma. Avaloi l'kodesh. Somebody has two kelim that he wants to be metayer. So if he's being metayer them for truma, he can put one keli inside the other keli and be toivel them together. However, if the reason he's being metayer this kelim is because he wants to use the kelim for kachim, then it's not okay. This is not something he's going to be able to do. So the Gemara says, b'kodesh my time alay. What's the reason he can't use it for kachim? Rav Eila. So Rav Eila said, nipnei shekfeidoi shal kli chaytzeitz. The reason is because we're afraid that if you have one keli inside another keli, so the keli that's in the inside, the inner keli, it's going to be pressing against the inside of the outer keli, and ultimately there's going to be a chatzitza. Water is not going to be able to get through between the two keli. So again, you have one keli that's literally inside another keli, right? Think of two cups that are stacked. You have one that's inside the other. So the water is going to try to seep through. It's going to be very hard for it to seep through because the kfedos, the weight of the inner keli, is going to be pressing down against the floor of the outer keli. And as a result, you're going to have a chatzitza. And because there's going to be a chatzitza, that's why it's going to be a problem. That's the way Rav Eila explained the first halacha of the Mishnah. Now, if this was a real, true, bona fide chatzitza, this would be a problem not only for kachim, it'd be a problem for truma and for chulin. It would always be a problem. So kinnir, it's a chumra that we would view this as a chatzitza. But the point is, you want to know why it's a problem for kachim. What was it that Chazal saw an issue at the very least to be machmor when it comes to kachim? What they saw was a chatzitza problem. Oh, befreit the Gemara. Mid the seifim mishum chatzitza. Reishu la mishum chatzitza. Can't be, says the Gemara, that this is chatzitza. Why? Because there's another case that was mentioned in the Mishnah. Another one of the chumras that you have in kachim over truma, and that chumra was based on chatzitza. And if that chumra is based on chatzitza, it's mistabe that this chumra is based on something else, not chatzitza. What was the other case in the Mishnah that mentioned chatzitza? We spoke it out. The Ketani Sefer, because the Mishnah mentioned the Sefer, and it was a long Sefer. Right, this was one of the halachas that were mentioned in the Sefer. But like midas ha-kodesh, midas ha-truma, shebe-kodesh, when it comes to kodesh, mater, if you have a knot inside a beggar that's tame, so you would have to untie them. Not umangif, dry it out, make sure it's not wet. Umatful, and then be toivel. It's achakach koish, and then after the tefillah, if you want to tie it back, you can tie it back. But you're not allowed to toivel the beged for kachim if it's not it. Ubetruma, when it comes to truma, koish. If you want the katchila, you can tie it. Achakach matful, and then afterwards you can be toivel. What's the reason you have to untie the knot when it comes to kachim? Because we're worried that the knot is going to create a chatzitza. What's the reason you don't have to do it for truma? Because we're not so makbid when it comes to truma. And again, if this was a bona fide chatzitza, you'd be makbid for truma as well. The Teretz is not a bona fide chatzitza. What is it? It's a chumrah. It's a chaymer b'kodesh. So you see that we're more machmer when it comes to chatzitzas by kodesh than we are by truma. Okay, so if that's the case, why do I need two different cases for? Meaning, if you're going to tell me that the reason matbilim kelim b'toich kelim l'truma for kodesh is because we're machmer when it comes to chatzitza, Le'inyan kachim, masha'in came betruma, and this is one of the chaymers b'kodesh me betruma. The Mishnah said it already. It said it in a few cases later. It said clearly that you have to untie knots for kachim, you don't have to untie knots for truma. Why? Because we're more machmer when it comes to chatzitza. It's the same chumra. Well, we're just trying to bring, we're not trying to mention cases, we're trying to mention concepts, ideas. We're more machmer when it comes to chatzitza by kachim than we are by truma. You see it already later in the Mishnah. So Rabbi Eila, if that's pshat in the first halacha of the Mishnah, picking kelim b'taychelim l'truma v'leil l'kodesh, because we're machmer by chatzitza by kachim, we're not machmer by chatzitza when it comes to truma, or we're not as machmer when it comes to truma, isn't that the case later? So the Gemara says it is, yes. Reisha v'seifim mishum chatzitza. Very good, Rabbi Eila says. I'm maskim 100%. Two of the 11 cases in the Mishnah are related to chatzitza. Oh, but the tzricha, the Mishnah had to mention both. Why? Yes, mina reish, because I only had the reish. I mean, I would have thought, hand the time to do the kodesh law. I would have thought the reason by kodesh is a problem when you want to be full of keli b'tayich keli mishum kvedei shel kli. It's because of the weight of the inner kli. The ikur of a sefer like a kvedei shel kli. But the sefer where you don't have the kvedei shel kli, all it is a knot. You don't have the weight of a kli pressing onto another kli. Emel kodesh nami le'avach chatzitza. I would have thought for kodesh also not considered a chatzitza. Yes, meaning the sefer had only had the sefer the case of the knot. Have I mean I would have thought hein etamid l'kodesh loy. The reason for kachim it's not considered a chatzitza is mishum de kitra p'mayo ahaduke mahadik. I would have thought that the reason by kachim it's a problem is because if you have a knot and then it gets wet, you know what happens? The knot gets even tighter. It becomes even harder to untie that knot. Aval resha. But when it comes to the two kelim, the maya, where they're inside water, akfiyei makfilei lamana. The water may cause the inner keli to float up, right? That's the metzias. It's going to cause it to float. So I would have thought that lo have a chatzitza. It's not considered a chatzitza tzricha, therefore I need it. Meaning Rav Eila said, you're right. Conceptually, the chumra of matbilim kelim b'toich kelim and the chumra of yes untying the knots, not untying the knots, are the same chumra. It's technically the same exact concept. Why would the Mishnah have to mention it twice? Not to teach me twice that we're more machmer in Hilchas Chatzitza by Kachem over Truma. Once I know that once, I would know that a second time. It's more to teach me a Chiddush in the Metzias of the Chatzitza. Because really, just because I know that Ein Matbilim Kelim Atayich Kelim B'Kodesh doesn't necessarily mean that the halach is I have to untie knots. And just because I know I have to untie a knot doesn't necessarily mean Ein Matbilim Kelim Atayich Kelim. Because even though at the end of the day they both boil down to chatzitza, but the metzias is very, very different. And I can argue that this is a chatzitza and this is not. That's a chatzitza, this is. And for that reason, tzricha, I need both cases to be mentioned in the Mishnah. And Zokta Gemara, a very geschmacka conclusion to this discussion, and that is Rab Eila Letameh. And really, Rab Eila's Lashitasid. Rab Eila said, Rab Chanina Bar Papa, in the name of Rab Chanina Bar Papa of Hadron fame, Eser Mailos Shanukan, that the Mishnah mentioned 10 Mailos, 10 Chumras in Kachim over Truma. What are the 10 Mailos? And he broke them down into two groups. Chamish Rishonis, the first five, Bein Lakaydish, are true for Kachim. Mishnah said, "Chaymer b'kodesh mi b'truma." It's also being the chulin shenasu al tayrus hakodesh. It's also true for chulin that's nasu al tayrus hakodesh. So we saw a little bit about this in yesterday's daf. The concept of chulin shenasu al tayrus hakodesh, and that was a group of people. These were elite chaverim, very very choshev people that they used to be so careful with chulin. They would treat chulin as if it was kodesh. So, for example, they wouldn't even let their chulin come in contact with a shlishi l'tumah. Because if kachim comes in contact with a shlishi l'tumah, it becomes tameh. So they were so careful with their kachim, they had all the chumras and all the milas that people have. We have a whole mission of chumras. They would keep all these chumras even for their chulin shenas al tayrus hakodesh. And here's the interesting thing. Their chumra becomes their reality, which is that if you treat your chulin as if it's kachim, it becomes kachim. Okay, so how does it relate to the Mishnah? How does it relate to chaymi b'kodesh b'betruma? So said Rav Eila, the Mishnah, there's 10 milas that kodesh has over truma. The first five are true for kodesh and for chulin shenasu al tayrus hakodesh. So the first five are all negeya, chulin shenasu al tayrus hakodesh. Achroino is the last five l'kodesh. That's true for kodesh. Avloy l'chulin shenasu al kodesh. But they're not nogeh for chuma nasach for chulin that's nasu al tayrus hakodesh. My time. What's the reason? Says the Gemara Chumash. Kamaisa the first five. The islu dror the tumim deiraisa. The first five are only geya. A tumah deiraisa. So therefore, gazbu rabban and the rabban were guys that bein l'kodesh both for kodesh and bein l'chulin shenasu al tayrus and for chulin that's nasu al tayrus hakodesh. But right, however, the latter five, the last bedrar the tumah deiraisa. But the last five have nothing to do with tumah deiraisa. The whole essence and mitzias of the underlying tumah is merely a tumah derabbanon. So gazbu rabbanon l'kodesh the rabbanon made these milas and these chumers for real kachim of l'chulin shenasu al tayrus hakodesh like gazbu rabbanon. But as relates to l'chulin shenasu al tayrus hakodesh over there, the rabbanon weren't good. So just to give one example, Rashi goes through all 10 and explains why the first five have a shaychis to drora deiraisa and the latter five don't have anything to do with the deiraisa. But for example, you have a keli that's really really tame. I have another keli that's really tame, and I want to be toivel the two kelim at the same time by putting one inside the other. So good. Could I do it or could I not do it? It's a chumrah to say that you can't do it. And that's why it's only by kachim that we say you can't do it. But there's a derarah of tumah deiraisa because the underlying tumah of the kalim is deiraisa. Just one example of the latter five. One hand of a person's tummy. Does that make the other hand tummy? Who does not make the other hand tummy? Tumas yadayim, the whole essence, the whole mitzias, is only a tumah derabanan. Being that the whole thing is a tumah derabanan, over there we're more mekel. What's the chumra? What's the kula? The first five, because there's a connection to tumah deiraisa, it's not only geya, it's not only negeya kachim, it's negeya chulin shenasu al tayrus hakodesh as well. Whereas the latter five, which are negeya, only tumah derabanan, over there it's not going to be negeya chulin shenasu al tayrus hakodesh. But we digress. What was the point that the Gemara was trying to make? Rab Eila l'tamei. This is Rab Eila l'shitasa. Why is this Rab Eila l'shitasa? Because Rab Eila said that eser mailo shanuka. That if you count all the mailos in the Mishnah, you know how many mailos, how many chumras there are in kachem over truma? He did the math. He said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. If you do the math, as we did when we were going through the Mishnah, we saw it was 11. It wasn't 10. It's chaser achas. Rav Eila's off by one. The Teretz is Rav Eila l'tameh. It's because Rav Eila holds that two of the milas are really one. Matbilin kelim atoch kelim l'truma avaloi l'kodesh. That's all related to chatzitza. And loy kemidas ha-kodesh, midas ha-truma, shabakodesh matu mangiv, umatvul v'achach kodesh, v'truma kodesh v'achach matu. It's also related to chatzitza. So really, there are two that are one. Now, why were they mentioned separate? To teach me that dos is a chatzitza and dos is a chatzitza. That this is a reason to be machmer by kachem and this is a reason to be machmer by kachem. That's the tzricha. It's for the mitzias of the chatzitza. But as far as the underlying fundamental fundamental principle. It's not two. Really, all it is one. And being that all it is one, that's why when Rav Eila made his summation and he came with his simon, his weight to remember, so how many milos do we have? He said it's 10. Because it's 10 yesoidis. You're right. There's 11 cases, but really all it is 10. And that's Rav Eila l'shitasi. Rav Amar. Rav, however, approached the Mishnah differently. And again, we're coming back to the beginning of the sugya. The Mishnah began chaymer b'kodesh mi'b'chuma. What was the first chumra? Matbilim kelim b'tach kelim l'chuma. Avaloy l'kodesh. You're allowed to take one keli, put it inside another keli, as it relates to truma. But if you want to do the same thing for kachim, that's not something you would be able to do. The Gemara said, why not? Why can't you do it for kachim? B'kodesh my time aloy. Rav Eila said, because of chatzitza. Mipnei shekvede shalkli chaytzit. Rav said a different shot. Rav said, mid the sefer havi mishum chatzitza. Being that the Mishnah already mentioned the chumra that kachim has over truma as it relates to chatzitza, where? In the case of the beged that has a knot, so balkar chakreish shalam mishum chatzitza. Must be that the reish has nothing to do with chatzitza. Must be the reason matpilim kelim b'toich kelim b'truma avoloi b'kodesh the b'kodesh my time aloi must have nothing to do with chatzitza. So he said, if that's the case, so what is pshat in the reish? The reish hainu taimo. It's a whole new reason, said Rava. Gzerish lo yatvul machtin v'tzinoirios bikli. Because we're afraid that a person might take machtin. Those are needles. Tzinoirios. These are very small forks. He's going to put it into a keli, he's going to be matpel keli b'toich keli, and he's going to do it in a keli that's opening is very, very narrow. How narrow? She'ein b'piv, the opening the keli is smaller than kishveiferes anoid, than a tube. So Rashi says a shveiferes anoid was a kone, it was a tube, she'noist in b'fi anoid shal ar. They used to put it into the mouth of a leather sack. So in the olden days, they would store wine and oil inside leather sacks. That's how they used to store it. Now, had you pour wine out of a leather sack, it's quite a feat. So they would take a tube, like a little spout, and the spout, that's the way you would pour it. So the Shveiferes Hanoid is that spout. So we're afraid, said Rava, that a person might take a keli that has a very narrow opening. It's narrower than the thickness of this tube, and he's going to put kalim inside of that, and if he does that, it's going to be a problem. And the reason it's going to be a problem is, now Rav is going to prove it from a Mishnah, but let's just speak it out loud. The reason it's going to be a problem is because if you have a keli that has such a narrow opening, we look at that keli as if it's completely closed off. So think Lavud of Mesachtes Sukkah, Mesachtes Shabbos, Mesachtes Erev in fame. It's so narrow, we look at it as if it's sealed off. So if a person would take Machtin that a Tameh, he would put it inside this Keli, which is Tameh, he would be Toivel them both in the mikveh at the same time, the Kelim that are inside would not be Tahar. You know why? Because the outer Keli is inside the mikveh of Arba Amsah. But the inner Kelim, they're inside this noid. They're inside a noid, which is inside a keli. Yeah, but the problem is, the noid is viewed as being closed off. As a result, it's a separate metzias. It's its own area code. And if that's the case, anything that's any water that goes inside is just inside the area of that keli. And if that keli is not machzik memsa, which it's probably not going to be, so as a result, you're not going to have a good tefillah. So Rava said, Enochanam, you want to be matpul kelim b'toich kelim? I have no problem. The reason I have an issue by kachim, the reason we were mad now is on chatzitza. Chatzitza is safer. Midik tani is safer. Mishum chatzitza reisha, not mishum chatzitza. So what then is the issue? This is something completely different. It's just a gzeir. It's a gzeir. You may go ahead and be toivel keli inside another keli that's so narrow. It's not a shveiferes anoid, and that would be an issue. Now, what's the makar to a keli being narrower than a shveiferes anoid that we look at that like a lavud? We look at it as if it's closed off. It's a separate entity, and anything that's inside that is inside that alone, and we don't look at it as if it's inside the water. So he based it on a Mishnah in Mesechtes Mikvois. The Mishnah says, Kiditanan, Ir of Mikvois. So a person had two Mikvois that were next to each other. One Mikvah was a kosher Mikvah, meaning it had 40 saw, and the other Mikvah that was mamish right next to it was less than 40 saw. And this person is trying to be machsher, the Mikvah that's less than 40 saw. So what's his patent? What's his Eitzah? What he's trying to do is, he's trying to get a little bit of water from the kosher Mikvah to touch the water in the mikveh that's chaser. And by the two mikvahs, just making contact, just by them touching each other, that in and of itself would be enough to be machshir the smaller mikveh. It's a concept that's known as hashaka. We've spoken about some of the machshava of hashaka. The Chasam Sofer's Misa Neshika is related to this concept of hashaka, that the tzaddik's neshama becomes so gevald that it literally makes contact with Shamayim and the Shechina and the Mekoymais Mimal, and that's how the person dies. But the halacha of Hashaka is that if you have a mikveh that's chaser and it makes contact with a mikveh that's mole, it's going to be okay. So what happens, the person had these two mikvahs and he's trying to make a chibur, he's trying to connect them. So Irv mikvahs, if a person was trying to be married to mikvahs, so what he did was, is he made a hole in the two mikvahs, he put a tube in between, and like this, they're going to end up touching. So the halacha is, Kishvei Feres Hanoid, if the hole inside the mikvahs is Kishvei Feres Hanoid, meaning it's the size, the hole is the size of the opening of this tube, and the Mishnah clarifies what that means. It's Ka'avya Uktichalala, meaning it has to be the size of the opening, the inside of the hole of the tube, but it has to be even a little bit bigger than that. It has to take into account the thickness of the rim of the tube itself. So it's not just the circumference of the inside hole, it's rather the circumference of the outside hole of the tube. But the bottom line is, what is that shear? It's wide enough that a person can take two of his fingers and he can mish them around, right? So the halacha says the Mishnah, then it's going to be an Eruv. If it's smaller than that, it's not going to be an Eruv. And the reason if it's smaller than that, it's not going to be an Eruv is because then we look at each mikvah, even though it has a hole, we look at it as if it's really closed off. So there's no way to be mechaber to mikvahs if each one is closed off. The whole concept of Hashak is this mikvah are touching each other. How's it touching? Because you have a hole, there's a tube, and everything is connected. But if the tube and the hole in the mikvah is so narrow that we look at it as if it's a lava, we look at it as if it's sealed. It's not lava, just we look at it as if it's closed off. So if you look at it as if it's closed off, so they're not touching. So what Rabbi said, you see from here that if you have a hole that's less than Shveiferes Hanoid Ka'avyo Kichalala, we look at it as if it's sealed off. So Rabbi said, you want to know why Chazal made a chumrah that Eimah Pilim Kelim B'Teich Kelim when it comes to the halach of kachim? It has nothing to do with chatzitza. Midik tani sefer mishum chatzitza, reisha lam mishum chatzitza. But rather, it's related to a gzeira. We're afraid that a person might be toivel keli b'toich keli in a way where it's not going to work. Ah, so if that's the case, why do we always make the gzeira? Ah, that's the dos of the Mishnah. Chaymer b'gaydish. We made certain chumras by kachim that we didn't make in other places. And the Gemara says, if this is what the way Rav explained the Mishnah, then presumably Savala Kadam Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Ravu. He must have held like Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Ravu, and that is Yud Aleph Milah Shanu Kan. That the Mishnah is not 10 milas, but rather the Mishnah is 11 milas. Sheish Rishon is the first 6 Bein Lekodesh Bein Lechun Shana Asa Tayrus Hakodesh. They're both for Kodesh and for Chun Shana Asa Tayrus Hakodesh. Achrayin is the latter 5. The Kodesh is going to be true for Kodesh. Avaloy Lechun Shana Asa Tayrus Hakodesh. However, it's not going to be Negeya for Chun Shana Asa Hakodesh. Shana Asa Tayrus Hakodesh. Why? What's the difference between the first 6 and the first 5? Like we saw, the first 6 are related to a durara of Tumah Deraisa. The latter 5 are not related to a drama of Tumah Deraisa. The ones that are related to Tumah Deraisa, they were goyzer even for Chulin Shenasa Al Tairus HaKadosh. The ones that are not negated Tumah Deraisa, they weren't goyzer for Chulin Shenasa Al Tairus HaKadosh. So just to summarize, we've been discussing the first of the chumras that Kachem has over Truma. Chaymer B'Kadosh Mi B'Truma. Shematpilim Kelim B'Toich Kelim L'Truma. Aval Loy Lakaidish. And the question is, why can you be matpa lakeli betoich keli lakachem? What is the reason for this chumra? Machlikis Ameira. Machlikis Rab Eila and Rava. Rav Eila said that it's related to chatzmitza. Rav Eila said that we're concerned that if a person is going to be matpa keli betoich keli, what may happen is the weight of the upper keli is going to press so hard on the floor of the bottom keli, it's not going to let any water go through, and therefore there may be a chatzitza problem. It's only a chumra, and therefore we will only machmer by kachim, but the side of it is related to chatzitza. According to Rava, it's a whole different reason. It's pashat gzeira. We're afraid that if you're going to be matpul keli b'toich keli, you may be matpul machten v'tzinoiriyos inside a keli she'em bepiv kishveiferes hanoid. In that case, the machten and tzinoiris are going to be viewed as if they're inside the outer keli, but not inside the mikvah. There, the tefillah is not going to be a good tefillah. When it came to kachim, Chazal made this gzeira, but when it came to truma and certainly chulin, Chazal did not make this gzeira. The Gemara said that according to Rav Eila, that the halach of the first halach of the Mishnah is mishum chatzitza. So it comes out that chumra and one of the chumras that I mentioned later are really one and the same. And Rav Eila the Tameh, when he counted all the chumras in the Mishnah, he counted 10. It's 11. The teretz is two of them ashtayim sheinachas. Even though the metzias of the case is different, but the underlying principle is really the same. Rava, however, who, according to him, the first case of Mishnah has nothing to do with Chatzitza. So when the Mishnah mentions the Chumrah that Kachem has over Chumrah by Chatzitza, it's not redundant, it's not Shem Shtayin Shein Achas. So the Gemara says, Rava presumably held like Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Barabu. It's not Rava Latame. Rava never opined on how many milas there are in the Mishnah. Ravela did, so Ravela, it's Geshmak. Oh, Ravela Latame, Ravela Shitase. Rava Nala Shitase, but the Gemara is taking the leap of faith and the Gemara is making the assumption that Rava Mistama held like Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Baravua that it's not Yud Maila Shanu Kan, but rather it's Yud Aleph Mailois Shanu Kan. So as it relates to Raid, for today's daf, we're going to keep it short, just two light ha'aris. And that is, the first ha'ara is really related to something that we've talked about many times, most recently in Masechtas Yuma, and this is an example of Hafachba vafachba the im beis medrash b'lo chiddush. Again, it's something. It's a raid bite that Baruch Hashem has grown over the years with related raid bites. The im beis medrash would add a beautiful chiddush related to a gemara that we've discussed today. And that is, the Mishnah was focusing really on the first of the chumras that Kachem has over truma. Matbilim kelim b'tach kelim l'truma avo loy l'kodesh. But in the course of the gemara's discussion of the first chumra, the Gemara discussed one of the later chumras as well, and that is loy kemidas hakodesh midas hatrumah. That kachim is more chumah than truma. The theme of the Mishnah: shebekodesh, if you have a knot inside a beged and you want to be matir this beged to use for kachim, so matir, you have to untie the knot. Umenagiv, you have to make sure that the beged is going to be dry. Umatvil, then be toivel it. And then if you want to tie it back, you can tie it back. Ubitruma, however, when it comes to truma, you don't have to untie knots. In fact, kosher, if you want the katchila, you can tie a knot. Vachakach matbo. And then afterwards, you could be toivel the knot. So the Mishnah said that when it comes to kachim, knots are a problem. And the Gemara said the reason a knot is a problem is because of a chatzitza. So before you toivel the bag, you have to untie the knot. But the Mishnah didn't just say you have to untie the knot. The Mishnah said mater, first you have to untie the knot, umenagev. And then if it's wet, you have to dry the knot, umatfil, and then be toivel again. Zoktel Garashi. Why do you have to dry the knot? Umenagev imlachu. If it's wet, dry it. Menagvoy tfichila. First dry, v'achakach matpila, and then be toivel it. V'cholze, and the reason you have to do that, Rashi says, v'cholze. The reason you have to do everything that we just mentioned. What's everything? The reason you have to untie the knot. And then the reason you have to dry the area that was tied in the event that it's wet. Mishum d'domi l'chatzitza. Because there's a concern that there might be a chatzitza. Makshim achroinim, I understand Rashi. I understand why you have to untie a knot. The reason you have to untie a knot is this chatzitza problem. Because if it's knotted, the area that's inside the knot, the water may not be able to penetrate. As a result, you're not going to be able to be metired. Oh, but Rashi says that after you untie it, you have to dry it. And the reason you have to dry it is why? Because there's going to be a chatzitza. V'chol zem yishum chatzitza. What's the chatzitza problem of the lechos? Oh, because there's some, it's wet. And whatever is causing it to be wet, whether it's water, whether it's some other mashka, that's going to be a chatzitza. The problem is, there's a halacha psuka when it comes to all dinei chatzitza, that a dover lach is enoi chotzetz. That anything that's wet is never a chatzitza. So if you have a keli and it's wet, you can put it into the mikveh, you can be toivel it. So all of a sudden here we have this idea that you have to dry it. You have to dry it, why? Because a chatzitza, l'chayr it's a dover lach. If it's a dover lach, it's enoi chotzetz. L'chayr Rashi's a pella, right? Teretz says, of course Rashi's not a pella. Rashi's pashut. What's Rashi saying? The whole point of the Mishnah is Chumra B'Kaydash. We're saying Chumras that Kachem has that ordinarily you don't have. Even to untie the knot is not something that you really have to do. Why? Because by Truma you don't have to untie the knot. And Kavach Chumra, by Chulin you don't have to untie the knot. The Teretz is the whole spirit of this Maila and this Chumra is we're handling Kachem the Chumras. So when it comes to Kachem and when it comes to these type of chumras, so over there we're more makbid when it comes to chatzitza. So we're more makbid and we say that if you have a knot, you have to untie it. And we're also more makbid and we say that if it's wet, you have to dry it. Ay, dover lach is ene chaitzis. We know dover lach is ene chaitzis. But we're dealing with kachim over here. When it comes to kachim, this is chaymer b'kaydash b'b'tshuma. Every single chumra that our Mishnah mentioned has no shaykhis to dinei tefillin, kol ha'tayrei kuli. You learn mikvayis, you're not going to learn these halachas. It's dafka chumras and kachim. Oh, so in the world of kachim, where we're saying chumras, just like untying the knot is a chumra in hilchas chatzitza of kachim, which you don't have. Even by truma, you don't have to worry about it. Certainly when it comes to chulin. So to this idea that if it's wet, you would have to be menagiv, it wouldn't be a problem. It doesn't look chura the pashat. in Rashi, stating that I saw in the Megadim Chadashim. He says that based on this Rashi, and the Chur, this is Pash Pshat, even though the Achronim, I'm a factic a little bit, but this is for sure the Pash Pshat in Rashi. So based on this Pash Pshat in Rashi, say he brings a beautiful Yusoid that he saw to answer a very famous, very Shverim Mishnah Melech. He said he saw it in three different Svarim, but we just have to chazer over, we have to be makdim again, the Mishnah Melech. That is, the Mishnah, the Masechtas Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph on the base was discussing the Seida Avodah on Yom Kippur, specifically what the Kohen Gadol did. And we know that the Kohen Gadol went to the mikveh 5 times on Yom Kippur, and he was Mekadosh Yad V'Raglav 10 times. Every time he went to the mikveh, he was Mekadosh Yad V'Raglav 2 times. Now, what did the 5 tefillahs coincide with? They coincided with the 5 times that he changed his clothing. So the Mishnah in Yuma Lamed Aleph on the base says, Poshat, the Kohen Gadol got undressed. Yorad, he went down to the mikveh, V'Tovel and Yitovel. Oh, look, he got up. Big, and he dried himself. He brought the new begadim, and he went and he put the new begadim. And then again, every single time the Kohen Gadol goes to the mikveh, Pashat, he gets undressed, Yorad V'tavel, he goes into the mikveh, Ola, he got up, V'nestapig, and afterwards, he dried himself. The Mishnah Melech, in Hilchus, Avoidus Yom Kippurim, clears a shayla. He's Mesopik, it's in the beginning of Perik Beis. He says, Nistapakti. I'm not sure. When the Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol was Nistapik, he dried himself. Does the Mishnah say he dried himself because he had to dry himself? Or does the Mishnah say that he dried himself just because that's usually what people do? You come out of the mikveh, you dry yourself. But did the Mishnah mean that he had to dry himself? Or did the Mishnah just mean that that's punkt what he did? Incidentally, it's kedai to chazer over, but when we learn Masechtas Yuma, so we said over, I heard from Rabbi Yosef Ernst, the Shlita, the Rav and the Alexander Stiebel, so he said a maisa that the Chabina Rav was a bacher, and he had gone to the mikveh, and when he came out of the mikveh, so he took a towel and he was drying himself. So there was an elter chassidish yid over there, and apparently there's a chassidish inyan that when a person comes out of the mikveh, so you're not supposed to dry yourself. So he looked at this bacher and he gave him a psak. He told him psak chitzpah bacher. You're going ahead and you're drying yourself when you come out of the mikveh. So the Chabina Ruf looked at him and he told him, he said he saw it by a gadol. So he didn't say anything. He walked out of the mikveh, the yid turned around, and he turns to the Chabina Ruf. He was a little bach. He said, by which gadol did you see this? So he told him, I saw it by the Kohen Gadol. Because the Mishnah says regarding the Kohen Gadol, Poshat Yorad V'Taval, he went into the mikveh, all of in a stopping. And when he came out, he dried himself. By the Kohen Gadol. But either way, so the Mishnah says that he dried himself. So clears the Mishnah Melech. This that the Mishnah says that he dried himself is a punk. Stam. The Mishnah's telling me what must have happened. He probably dried himself. Or was there a din? There was a din that he would have to dry himself. Says the Mishnah Melech. What would be my tzad that there's a din that he should have to dry himself? He says, because maybe the water, if he didn't dry himself, would be a chatzitza. The halacha is, it says, that the Kohen Gadol was not allowed to have anything bichotzeit between him and his begadim. It says in the Torah, in the beginning of Parshas Achrimos, V'rochatz b'mayim es besorei ulevesham. And we learn from there that the begadim had to be literally es besorei, had to be on top of his basar. There's not allowed to be a chatzitza. And because it's not allowed to be a chatzitza, so based on that, says the Mishnah Melech, maybe the mayim would be a chatzitza. And if the mayim would be a chatzitza, maybe that's why it would be a problem. And that's the suffix in the Mishnah Melech. So everybody asks on this Mishnah Melech. This is one of the Shverim Mishnah Melechs of all time. Everyone asks, what do you mean the Mishnah Melech? You're telling me there's a tzad that the Kohen Gadol had to try himself because otherwise the mayim would have been a chatzitza? L'chayitz a davar lach, and a davar lach is a chayitzitz. So we've spoken out in the past, we have long raid bites on this, that the Chidah and Birka Yois and the Simuch of Zayin says, no, Pshat in the Mishnah Melech is, Avad the Mishnah Melech knew that mayim is not a chayitzitz. But over here, when it comes to Big Day Kuna, the Mishnah Melech thought that maybe there's a din that it's not enough that you don't have a chatzitza between the Kohen's body and his begadim, but rather the begadim have to be directly on his baggage. The haraya, because the Gemara says that the Big Day Kuna had to fit perfectly on top of the Kohen. In fact, it says if it was a little too baggy, if there was ruach in between the beged of the Kohen Gadol and the body of the Kohen Gadol, that would be a problem. Now, Ruach is for sure not a chatzitza. The Teretz is, it's not a chatzitza, it's because it has to physically be on him. So if it has to be physically be on him, Mayim and Chanami in Hilchas Chatzitza, Heisnish Kandover Achoytzeit. Oh, but at the end of the day, if there's water in between the beged and between the goof of the Kohen Gadol, the Maisa, the beged is not directly on the goof, it's not directly on the goof. So like this, it's not going to be okay. And he shtals it to the Chidot Hilchas Tvilin, that a person should have to dry his here, after he goes to the mikveh, before he puts on his tefillin shorosh, we said over then a tshuva in the Chabina Rav, and then a tshuva for Rabbi Avadya Yosef that he discussed with the Chabina Rav, putting on, if you remember, putting a watch, wearing a wristwatch while a person's wearing tefillin. He says that he read, he saw a tshuva in the Dovid Meisharim. Then he had the schus to be mekabel the pnei Ashchina. That's his lashon. He writes that when he saw the Chabina Rav, kishenechnasti lekabel pnei Ashchina. Al derech sholish pamen bashana yera kol zchurcha es pnei yadin Hashem the rabbis talmid chachamim. But he says when he was mekabel the pnei Ashchina, when he came to be mekabel the Chabina Rav, he discussed with him and he realized that the Chabina Rav thought that people wore wristwatches on their biceps. He thought they wore it on their where a person actually puts the batim again. Ayin shom. But the point is that was all the chida. So says Rav David Yoel Weiss. He said that he found three neviim misnavnim b'signon echad. Found this in the Sefer Yad HaMelech in Hilchas Mikvayis, Perek Beis Halacha Aleph. Listen to Bikiyas. In the Sefer Shroshei Hayam, Chelek Aleph, Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph on the days, and in Shailos HaTshuvas Keren LeDavid in the end of Simen Yud. But they all said that everyone's matmi on the Mishnah Melech. The Mishnah Melech says that he had a tzad that the Kohen Gadol had to dry himself. And the reason Kohen Gadol had to dry himself is because had he not dried himself, the water would have been a chatzitza. Ayetz Ndavalach, and Ndavalach is a nechoitzis. So said the Yad HaMelech and the Shroshei Hayam. And the Shailos HaTshuvas Keren LeDavid, that the Fiyah Mavur Berashi, in the Mishnah Mesechtes Chagiga Daf Chof on the days, that Rashi says that when your person has a beged, and he is being toivelit for kachim, and the beged has a knot, so he has to untie the beged, and then he has to dry it. What is he drying it for? Rashi says, to make sure there's no davar lach, make sure it's not wet. Because if it's wet, kol zeh mishum chatzitza. There's going to be a problem, mishum chatzitza. Ay, davar lach is ene chaytzit. The teretz is pashit. The teretz is because it's a chaymer in kachim. And when it comes to kachim, we're machmer in dini chatzitza. And just like we're machmer that a knot is considered a chatzitza, so too we're machmer when it comes to kachim, that Lechus is also going to be a chatzitza. Is the Kohen Gadol when he's doing the avodah on Yom Kippur? She'ein locha kachim gedoyle mizu. He's being nichnas not just to the kodesh hakadoshim. He's going in lefnai velefnim. So we're here. We're going to take on the maila, the chaymer bekodesh mi betrumo. That a davar lach is going to be a chatzitza. Mamish v'divrei picha chomim chein. Beautiful tzushtal. This Rashi talked to. We see how everything is interconnected. A Rashi in Chagiga Daf Chaf on the days ties into a Mishnah Lamelech and Perik Beis Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim that's coming to say Pshat and a Mishnah in Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph on the days. But either way, that's the Pshat. You're right. Well, Oyvam Adav Alach is any Chaytzitz. But we're dealing here with the big day Kuna on Yom Kippur. And when it comes to Yom Kippur over there, you find this Chaymer that Kachim has that here Dav Alach will be Chaytzitz. And as a result, the Mishnah Lamelech had a legitimate, bona fide tzad that when the Mishnah says regarding the Kohen Gadol, Pashat, Yarad, Vitova, Olav and Estapi, it wasn't just Olav and Estapi because that's what you do. It was Olav and Estapi because there was a din. And by the way, that would be Miyashiv, the Chassidus Shaminik, not to be toivel. Here the Kohen Gadol had no choice. This was a problem. This was a halacha. This would have been a chatzitza. Either way, that's the first ara. The second ara is, so we're talking about different chumras that you have by truma and different chumras that you have by kachim, specifically chumras that you have in kachim over trumas. I thought it was worth chazering a ha'ara that we spoke out a very long time ago. In fact, we spoke out this ha'ara when we learned Masechtas Brachos Daf Beis. So the very, very first daf, nothing to do with Rabbi Eliezer, but the very first daf of the 14th Daf Yoimi Machzer, we spoke out a ha'ara which is related to the sugyas that we're learning right now. It's also in Yonah de Yoima a little bit. This week's parasha, and that is, we know the first Mishnah in Shas. Me'emosai koirin es shema ba'arvin. What is the earliest time that a person's allowed to learn Kriya Shema at night? Says the Mishnah, Mishosh ha'kohanim nechnasin lecha b'trumasan. It's from the time that the kohanim are allowed to eat truma, atzoif ha'shmura rishayna, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. But the Mishnah says, what's the earliest time that a person's allowed to lay in Kriya Shema at night? It's Mishosh HaKeihanim Nechnasin Lecha B'Trumas. Zokteil Gerashi, what does that mean? Keihanim Shenitmu. We're talking about Keihanim that became Tomei. V'tavlu, and they went to the mikvah. V'herif Shimshon. They waited until the sun set. Now that the sun set, they're Tahar. Therefore, V'igiyah Itam Lecha B'Trumah. At this point, they're allowed to eat Trumah. So when the Mishnah says, Mishosh HaKeihanim Nechnasin Lecha B'Trumas, what it means is, from the time that Keihanim that were Tomei, they went to the mikveh, but the Torah says that even someone that's tamei that goes to the mikveh is not really tahar until the sun sets. Now that the sun set, now they're tahar, now they're allowed to eat truma again. Someone that's tamei is not allowed to eat truma, so now they could eat truma. So that time that's considered sunset as it relates to when the kayanim are allowed to start eating truma, that's the time that a yid is allowed to start saying Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. The Balaturin in the beginning of Parshas Truma. So Parshas Truma begins, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemer, daber al b'nei Yisrael, v'yikhu li Truma. Parshas Mishpatim, the parasha right before Parshas Truma ends, Vayavoy Moshe betoicha anon, Vayal el ha'ar, Vayihi Moshe bahar arboim yoim, v'arboim laila. Says the Baal HaTurim, Parshas Mishpatim ends with the word laila. Parshas Truma begins with the concept of v'yikhu li Truma. Samach laila l'v'yikhu li Truma. Remez, says the Baal HaTurim, this is a remez, that zman achilas Truma belaila. That the zman of achilas Truma is at night. Kidetnan, like the Mishnah says, Mishah sha'akayhanim nechnasim lecho betrumasam, shehut seis ha'kayhanim. That this is a remez, that the time that the kayhanim used to eat Truma is belaila. And what do you see? That you see it in the first Mishnah. Mishah sha'akayhanim nechnasim lecho betrumasam. So says the Baal HaTurim, Parshas Mishpatim ends with Laila. Parshas Truma begins with Truma. There's a connection between Laila and Truma. Oh, it's the first Mishnah. Me'emes HaKoyer Shema Be'arvin. That's Laila. When is Laila? Laila is Mishal Shakeyanim Nechnasim Lechel B'Trumasim. That's the Pshat. So, oh, but if you look at the Lashon of the Baal HaTurim, this Lashon is Remez that Zman Achilas Truma Be'Laila. It sounds like the Zman Achilas Truma period is Be'Laila. And the truth is not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said, Kayhanim shenitmu. They have to wait until Harav Shemesh. So for them, the earliest time they're going to be allowed to eat Truma is Balayla. But to say that the Zman of Achilas Truma is Balayla, whoever said that? Kayhanim that's Tommy. Okay, yeah, you're right. Kayhanim that's Tommy. He can't eat until night. And by the way, he can eat the next day if he wants. But the Baal HaTurim seems to be saying that Zman Achilas Truma is Balayla. The emes is, the Magia on the Feldheim edition of the Baal HaTurim brings that it's really an often a Zohar HaKadosh. And the Sfas Emes in the Likutim and Parshas Mishpatim talks about the Zohar. And in the Zohar it's Mavur that the Kayhanim used to eat Truma Dafka by night. They didn't eat Truma during the day. They Dafka used to eat Truma by night. And the Sfarim say that the reason was, there's a Tam al pi kabol, but the Tam Nigla of why they would eat Truma by night was because the Kehanim were very worried that maybe their Truma, and it was that maybe their Tame. And this was a Chumra that they had taken upon themselves, Dafka for Truma. So what they did was, is that any time a Kohen would eat Truma, he would go to the mikveh first, to be 100% sure that he's tar. So he would go to the mikveh, and then he would wait until Harav Shemesh, and then at night is when he would eat it. So at night was the time that he knew for sure he was tar. So in the beginning, Mamish Mishasha Kehanim Dechnos and that's the Tchila Zman Krisha. That's when all Kayhanim used to eat Truma. And the Mefarshim say that it's Meduyik in the Mishnah. Sfasema says it. Mishnah doesn't say Mishasha Kayhanim Tmeyim. Rashi said Tmeyim because that's the Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah. Oh, but Lamai said the Mishnah didn't say Kayhanim Tmeyim. You know why? Because although you're right, the Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah is Mishasha Kayhanim Tmeyim. But if you go a little bit deeper, I'll be the Zoyar, and there's a Cheshbin to it, there's a Nigla Digas Svarat as well, is that the Kayhanim were Machmer on themselves. They wanted to make sure 100% that they were tar. So they would purposely not eat Truma during the day. They would go to the mikveh, then wait until sunset. Boom, now they know for sure they're tar. After that, then there's concerns. Maybe they were pilot shechvazera. So you start getting worried that maybe they're really tummy. So like this, they knew 100% they were clean. That's what they would do. But this was a chumrah, very matim with the chumras that we're learning about right now, that the kihanim took upon themselves, that they would never eat Truma during the day. Fascinating. They would only eat Truma at night, and it's a little meduyik in the Mishnah. Mishasha kihanim nechnas. It doesn't say kihanim tmeim. It says Mishasha Koyhanim, because on a deeper level, on a Tam Nistar, really, even Koyhanim Tahirim were makbid not to eat Truma during the day, because during the day you still might be Tameh. The only time you know for sure you're Tahar is if you go to the mikveh, the sun sets, so now you sit down, you eat your Truma, and that's the way you would do it. But either way, this is something that's going to be Meduyik. The truth is, here comes the digression from the digression, that if you go through the Baal HaTurim here in the beginning of Parshas Truma, one is more geschmack than the next. I just think it's good that the first Baal HaTurim here in Parshas Truma. So the Baal HaTurim mentions what we just said, Samach Laila Leviyikuli Truma, and this is a remez that this man achilas Truma is Malaila. Baal HaTurim then says that the words Veyikuli, Li is Begematria, 40, right? Lamed Yod is 30 plus 10, it's 40. Oyla Men, what's the shaykhis to Truma and Mem? Because even though we know when it comes to Truma, we're learning Masechtas Mayid now in Mishnah Yoimi, but when it comes to Truma, Chita Achas is Peiteres HaSakri. Right? All you have to give is one Chita, and you can patter up your obligation of Truma for everything that you have. Stating that, Chazal, this is Mishnayis and Masechtas Truma, they gave Shiurim. They said that a person that gives Ba'ayin Yofa should give 1/40. A Beinani should give 1 out of 50. And then someone that gives Ba'ayin Ra, he should give the Shir of Peya. which is 160. But an Ayin Yof is 140, a Beinoni is 150, and someone that gives B'Ayin Ra, he's a shtickle stingy, he doesn't want to give so much to the Kayanim, he wants to get away with the, even you, at the very least, should give 160. So it says the Balaturim, V'yikhuli truma me'ez kalish ashe yudvenu lipoy. V'yikhuli, li is oil man, it's begematria 40. This is a remez to 140th, which is Ayin Yofa. Me'ez kol ish ashe yudvenu lipoy, kol, kof lamed, is a gematria 50. This is a remez to the Beinoni that's supposed to give 150th. And may ace call is Rosh Tevis Mem Chav, 40 plus 20, which is gematria 60. And this is a remez that someone that gives B'Ayin Rosh should give 160th. So V'yikhuli Truma Bepashtus is talking about the Truma Samishkan. Oh, but the Balaturim said, Samach Laila B'Yikhuli Truma, this is a remez to the Truma that the Kayhanim used to eat. Mishasha Kayhanim Nichnasan Lacha B'Trumasan. So once the Pasuk's also talking about Truma, says the Balaturim, it's also Merum is the three Shiurim, 140th, 150th, 160th. V'Yikhuli, that's 40, remez to 140th, that's Ayin Yafa. Me'ez Kol, that's 150th, that's a remez to the Beinoni. And Me'ez Kol, Rosh Tevis, Memchav, that's 160th, that's a remez to the person that eats an Ayin Ra. There's another Balaturim here in the first Pasuk. On V'yikuli Truma Me'ez Kolish Asher Yudvenu Libay. The Balaturim says that Truma is Oisius Mem Torah. The word Truma is Oisius Mem Taira, right? Those are the oisis. There's a mem, and then you have a tof, vav, reishe. And this is a remez to the fact that Taira nitna lemem yoim, that the Taira was given for 40 days. Right? Maimed Har Sinai was 40 days. There was a Maimed Har Sinai, which took a few hours. Then Moshe Rabbeinu went up for 40 days to be Makabal the Luchos. So really, the Taira was given, Chazal say, in many different places, that Maimed Har Sinai was an event, really, that from beginning to end took 40 days. And it's merum is in the word truma. Truma is mem Taira. And the Balaturim says, what's the Shaychis? What does Mem Torah have to do with the Trumas HaMishkan? And he says a Pshat. But I was thinking, again, based on Ray that we've spoken about in the past, could be the Pshat is beautiful. What's the Shaychis between Mem Torah, Maimed Har Sinai, and the Trumas HaMishkan? The Shaychis is the Ramban that we've spoken out. But the Ramban says that at Maimed Har Sinai, there was a very, very intense manifestation of Ashrayus HaShchina. But the Eibishter wanted that the event of Maimed Har Sinai, the Ashrayus HaShchina, should be something that's going to remain with the Yidden L'dayres. And the Ramban says that that's why HaMestakel Yofa B'Ksuvim, if somebody goes through the Psukim carefully, that it says by Maimed Har Sinai, he's going to understand the Soid HaMishkan. Because really, the Soid HaMishkan is Maimed Har Sinai. Maimed Har Sinai was the microcosm, but the Mishkan was something that the Yidden had for generations, which contained it in Maimed Har Sinai. We said over for Abel Yeber Vachtvogel Shlita, who said Pshat and Rashi Mesachtes Tainis Daf Chof Amid Beis that we spoke about not so long ago, where Rashi says that the Shechina was Yordan Har Sinai, and it remained there until when? Until Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Yom HaKomaz HaMishkan, that's when it went from Maimed Har Sinai and it moved over to the Mishkan. So Rabbi Yehuda said, what's the Pshat? Pshat is the Ramban, because it was the same Mishkan, it was the same Shechina. The Shechina of Mishkan was the Shechina of Maimed Har Sinai. And again, we've spoken about this so many different times. We said that's why in the Mishkan there was an ability for a person to come to a tremendous hakara in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Ikar Amunah that the Yidden got, Atah Reis Ladaski Hashem Mu'al Kim Einoi Milvadoi, that's something that came from Maimed Har Sinai, that's Ilu Karvanu Lufnei Har Sinai V'lo Nasalanu Es HaTayr Dayenu. We spoke at once from the Satmar of the Divrei Yoel. He said because the Yidden got Amunah by Maimed Har Sinai, and that's through the Mishkan the Yidden also got Amunah. The Pasuk says that you're going to have a Mishkan L'man Yedu like this, you're going to know that I'm the one who took you out of Mitzrayim. Amunah came through the Mishkan just like Amunah came through Maimed Har Sinai. But either way, I think it's this Balaturim. The Balaturim says V'yikhuli Truma. What's the purpose of the Truma? V'osuli Mishkan. Miktosh v'shachanti b'soiche. The purpose of the Truma is to go ahead and build a Mishkan. The purpose is to go ahead and build a Beis HaMikdash. What's Truma? Truma is Torah Mem. Not just Torah, it's Torah Mem. Mem's a remez to Maimed Har Sinai. That's what Mem is. It's the Torah Shenitna L'Mem, because that's what the Mishkan had. In the Mishkan is given the Torah Mem. It was the Maimed Har Sinai, not just the Torah. It was the Maimed Har Sinai, because V'amistakol Yotha B'Ksuvim, if somebody looks at the Psukim Maimed Har Sinai, he's going to understand the Seid HaMishkan, L'chura Dosh Teito, in this Baal. But there's another Balaturim here in the beginning. There's another Balaturim, and this is going to tie it in with Parashas Pekudei, this week's Parashah. There's another Balaturim. Balaturim says, V'yikuli Truma. Asuli makam mikdash. You should make a makam mikdash. Says the Balaturim, echad mihamishim shebahara bayis. This makam mikdash should have the size, it should be 150th of the harabayis. Kemoi truma, just like truma, shehu echad mihamishim, which is 150th. Someone that gives be'ofen beinani, he gives 1/50. What's the cheshbon? Shari harabayis tafkuf al tafkuf. Mishnah says in Masechtas Midas that the harabayis was 500 amos by 500 amos. Umakim achatzer, and the makim of the chatzer hayukuf al nun. It was 100 amos long by 50 amos wide. Shu echad mechamishin shal tafkuf al tafkuf. 100 by 50 is 1/50 of 500 by 500. It's easy math. The harabayis was 500 amos by 500 amis. 500 amis by 500 amis is 250,000 square amis. The chatzer was 50 amis by 100 amis. 50 by 100 is 5,000 square amis. How much bigger was the harabayis than the chatzer amishkan? It was 50 times the size, because 250,000 divided by 5,000 is exactly 50. So sok the balaturim for us. I want you to give me a truma. What's the truma? The truma is the Mishkan. What's the Mishkan a truma of? It's a truma? It's a truma of the Harabayas. It's a truma of the Harabayas. What's the cheshbon? Harabayas is 250,000 square amas. This is 5,000. It's 1/50. That's the shear of truma. There's 1/40, 1/50, 1/60. The Beinoni gives 1/50. And that's why the Torah refers to it as truma, because really the Mishkan was a truma. It was 1/50. The Chasam Sofer, Ala Torah, in Parashas Truma, so he's matmiya, he says he doesn't understand. His lashon is, V'kosha, harabayis, man dekar shmei hocha. Where's the harabayis have to do with anything? The chotzer ha-mishkan, the va'osoli mikdosh, which the Parshat Pshat is referring to the mishkan, this was the truma of the harabayis, ma'inyin mishkan to the harabayis. So listen to what the Chasam Sofer says. Al-kein nirula niyaz daiti, al-pim mashim mevur b'medrash. The Chasam Sofer quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu made his campaign and he started raising money for the Mishkan, so we know what happened, right? This is the first time this happened in history. He ran a campaign and then they said, we apologize, but we are no longer accepting any donations. There was too much money. It was Daiva Hoiser. There's nothing for us to do with the money. We apologize. Everybody was very gracious and very generous, but we've come to a point where we're going to have to return everything. We can't, so we're done. So says the Medrash, what did the Yidden do with all that money? What did they do with it? It's a Medrash. Banu beis ha-medrash lumay tayrash sham, samach le-mishkan. They built the beis Medrash. That's what they did. Zok techsam soifer, that's pshat in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Eila pekudei ha-mishkan, mishkan ha-edos. It says twice, Eila pekudei ha-mishkan, and then it says, mishkan ha-edos. Trehava. So why does it have to say two? So Zokta, you know, it mentions two. Because one was the Mishkan, that's the actual Mishkan. They raised money for the Mishkan, but they had extra money. So what were they going to do with the extra money? They made a koil. That's what they made. They made a Beis Medrash. That's what they did. So it's Eilu Pekudei HaMishkan, and then there's a Mishkan HaEdos. There were two things that happened, because there was the Ikr money that went for the Mishkan, and then there was all the leftover money that was done for the Beis Medrash. So he says, if a person would picture the Mishkan, right? You always think of the Mishkan. It's out in the desert somewhere. What's around it? I don't know. It's desert. There's cactuses, chesus, vostutzach in a desert. Whatever you have in a desert, that's what you had, right? That's the visual. That's the way you see it always in the books. So if it's a toys, that's not my picture. He says, you want to know how I envision it? The way I envision it is there was a harabayis. The harabayis, he says, was tof kuf al tof kuf. It was 250,000 amis. That's it. Was mamish. It was this massive parcel of land. And then in the middle of this Beis Medrash, there was truma. There was 1/50. There was a mishkan. That's what there was. See, he says, be'etzim, the whole big area is going, I'm gross to Beis Medrash. But we took off. We tzitalt from the Beis Medrash an area. And that was the V'yikhuli Truma. And this is symbolized in the Harabayas. But we don't just mean it's 1/50 of the Harabayas of something that we would have hundreds of years later in Eretz Yisrael. But in the Mishkan Aleh, his lashon is that wherever the Yidden went, Bechol Mokim Chaniyosam, as they went through all the Masoyas in the Midbar, and every time Al Pi Hashem Yachin, Al Pi Hashem Yiso, every time they traveled, they didn't just take the Mishkan, but they took a Beis Medrash along with it. They pitched the Beis Medrash, and that's Eilu Pekudei HaMishkan 1, Mishkan HaEdos 2, because there's really two separate things that are happening at the same time. It says the Chasam Sofer, now you can understand the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'yikhuli Truma, and where should the Truma come from? Me'ez kol isha sheyedvenu liboy. Pashina means we're talking about the money that was used to build the Mishkan. But really the truma was a truma. It was 1/50th of the Beis Medrash. And the Beis Medrash is the place where you have the most nidvas alev. Because any yid that sits in Beis Medrash, any yid that dedicates his life to learn Torah, any yid that dedicates his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the biggest nidvas alev in the world. So he said, take from the makim, asher yedvenu liboy, take from the Beis Medrash and separate 1/50th, that's going to be a makam of avoida. So 1/50th will be avoida, but 49/50th, that's going to be all Torah. And he says, that's the remez of the truma being 1/50th of the harabayas, ayin sham, this is veruyin advarim, lemisha amram, but he says, that's the remez of truma being 5,000, 1/50th of 250,000, that's the me'ez kolish, asher yedvenu liboy. There's a little bit more balaturim see on this first pasuk, but we're going to stop here.